Amen, amen. We want to thank our brothers for leading us thus far in the service. The songs that were sung, the table talk, and the opportunity we have to be able to give to God, all of that was just wonderful this morning, and we pray that you've been edified by it. Today I'm talking about five PowerPoints from Proverbs. I didn't start off with an opening scripture. We're just going to jump right into it, but I will like to offer an opening prayer. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time together in your word. Thank you for the power of your word. And we pray that we might be able to receive insights from your word that might help us in our walk with you. Bless, guide, protect, and keep each of us, Lord, in your loving care. There's some among us this morning that have come in with some heavy hearts, with some great burdens on their minds, and we ask that you would be with them, Lord, and help them in all those areas where you know they stand in need. Lord, there are many on our sick list, many that are suffering right now through different illnesses. Especially, it seems like cancer is really a big one right now for our congregation. And we just pray, Lord, that you would be with the doctors, that you would give them insights, that you would help them to be able to treat and help and bless us, Lord. Also, we just ask that you would watch over this nation. Help us, Lord, to continue to look to you. Be with those around the world, those that are inflicting pain, Lord, and then those that are receiving pain, Lord. Comfort those that are on the receiving end, Lord, and touch the hearts of those that are on the giving end of that pain, Lord. We pray that we might continue to look to you. Bless, God, protect, watch over us is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Proverbs is a good book of great wisdom. I was thinking about some wise people in this world. Wise people that we know of, fictional and, you know, who've lived. You know, the Albert Einstein, we would say he was wise, right? Confucius. You have people in, I think it's Yoda. I see a lot of quotes from Yoda right now. And somebody thinks he's wise. Or Mr. Miyagi. You remember Mr. Miyagi? Uh-huh. And he was so wise that Danielson didn't have any idea what he was doing. He just thought he was doing chores around, but he was teaching them through it. And I think Proverbs is kind of a little bit like that in the fact that it has so much information packed into these little concise sayings. These sayings are so powerful that oftentimes you can take one and dwell on it, and meditate on it, and continue to just kind of like a person digging and going deeper and deeper and deeper. The more angles you look at it, the more the different ways you can see certain things. And I think it's intended to be that way. Proverbs is one of the poetic books in the Bible. And if you know anything about poetry or even art, art is very subjective. Sometimes as we look at these Proverbs, there's a clear understanding and a clear meaning. And then sometimes there's a not so clear meaning that you might have to go in a little bit deeper in order to be able to get it. But it's such a profound book of wisdom that you can continue to dig and find great nuggets of gold. I want to look at five different points from this great book of Proverbs. If you don't know much about the history of Proverbs, Proverbs was written by a man named Solomon, a great king of the Old Testament, son of King David. And Solomon desired to know and to want to know wisdom. He was given an opportunity. The Lord made him the wisest man on earth. He gave him all this insight into things that can only come from God. And let's just take a look at some of them. The first one probably being the most important of all. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Proverbs deals with this. I mean, obviously the whole Bible deals with this. The fear of the Lord. The Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord. I remember when I was younger, I used to wonder, what is this fear that we're talking about? And oftentimes when we think about fear, we think about someone cowering and, you know, in all of that. And, you know, you start to type of think of relationship between us and God. Does God want us to cower before him whenever he's there? And I just don't believe he does. Matter of fact, my Bible tells me that now, because of the relationship that we have, we can come boldly to the very throne of God. We have a relationship with our Father that we can even call him what? Abba, Father. It's an intimate description. You know, there's Father and Daddy. It's more like Daddy. It's a very intimate relationship we have with God. God doesn't want us cowering before him, but what this really means is that we have respect, reverential respect toward God, such as so that we want him to direct us and lead us. We want to follow his instruction. It's kind of like a child, and you want to find favor in the eyes of your parents. You want to find favor. You don't want to be found out of favor. Out of favor means punishment. Out of favor means they might take my cell phone. And that's, you know, that out of every single punishment in the world, that is the worst right now. You take that device, I'm telling you. I got teenagers, I know. If you need to know, come tell me. I'll give you all the hints. But the fear of the Lord is really talking about the fact I want to find favor in the eyes of God. I don't want to be out of his will. I don't want to be found doing something I'm not doing. And so I keep myself honest by looking at God's word, by desiring to be in God's favor. To desire, you know, my mom likes the house a certain way. And so for me to show respect and reverence to her and that she deserves, I try to do that. And when I don't do it, I recognize I don't do it. Hello. I recognize I don't do it, and I strive to do. All right? Secondly, and just since we're talking about the book of Proverbs, one of the great instructions that I've told, I've heard, I've been given, received, is there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. A good study of Proverbs, take a chapter a day, meditate on it. And I'm actually one of them people to say, you don't even need to do a whole chapter. Find a nugget. I mean, especially after you've been reading it for a while, find a nugget, a kernel of truth that you can kind of just sink your teeth into a little bit, that you can, you know how the cow chews the cud, and it'll chew the, and then it'll regurgitate it again, and chew it again, and chew it again. It's pulling every single nutrient it possibly can out of it, and that's what we can do with the Word of God. Continue to just, you don't have to just do surface level, and you don't have to just feel obligated, I have to do a chapter, I have to do it. Little bits still work. Little bits is how we grow anyway. Anyway, I figured I'd just throw that there while we were flying over that. Proverbs 2:3-6 says, "Indeed, if you call out for insight, cry it aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." I really want us to see this. We're seeking knowledge, wisdom, understanding, the application, and I don't want to separate any of them because sometimes we focus only on information. Do you know the information doesn't necessarily lead to transformation? There are many that can receive information and it not affect them, and that information really is useless. It's vain. if we're not using it. What God wants is to give us information that we might be informed, but so informed that we now change, that we're now conformed, that we're now transformed by that very information that we're now receiving. That information that the Lord is giving us, first of all, one of the things it's sharing here is that it is available. If you want to know how to be saved, if you want to know how to live the Christian life, if you want to know what it is to be in a relationship with God, if you want to know what it is about almost any topic that pertains to our Christianity and our walk with Him, it's already here. It's here. What do we have to do? We have to want it. You ever, and I know I've done this, so I'm pretty much can attest probably most of us have, but have you ever wanted to know the truth about something but really didn't want to know it that bad? Because you knew if I really get to know this truth, that it's going to smack me right in the face. And so we like to casually know certain things because we don't want it to impact us and affect us and make us change, or at least have a guilty conscience about that change. But if we want to be successful, if we want to get some real good PowerPoints, then one of the things is that we desire the information that leads to transformation. We desire the information that's going to lead to us now being more and more like Jesus Christ. He says, indeed, if you call out for insight, cry for understanding aloud, look for her just as silver and gold, you're going to find it. And the Lord's going to give you, listen, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He's going to give you the information, the ability to put that into application, and then all of that is going to lead to a transformation in our lives. That's what God is giving to us, made available through His Word for us. But you got to want it. You have to want it. And everyone doesn't want it, or some people only want it on the surface. Third, and you know, I could have a million PowerPoints from Proverbs. There's so much information there. But the third one I want to point out is the power of our words. Sticks and stones break my bones, but what? Words will always hurt me. The wrong words can always hurt people. Oh, yeah, I know I changed it up. I know I changed it. Because they do hurt. They do hurt. And while we say that as youth and all of that, and we're told to recite that, we understand that it's just not true. Our words have power of life and death contained within. And we are the very vessel. We are the instrument. We are the gun that shoots. Those bullets out. Those words. Those daggers. The Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So in other words, as Christians, as those that have decided that we want to be more and more like Jesus Christ, one of the things that we're going to have to learn is to bridle our tongue. James talks about it. This little tiny member boasts great things. This little tiny member, he compares it to this little spark that starts out and turns to this huge wildfire. Think about the great wildfires that we've had. Matter of fact, think Canada. It just is it still burning? I don't know. It's still burning? Whew. But usually those wildfires start with this little spark. And that's the illustration. This little thing can lead to. So we have to understand that this little tiny vessel, this little tiny rudder, this little tiny bit in a horse's mouth, this little tiny thing has so much power. Your whole career can be destroyed by you saying the wrong words at the wrong time. Ask some politicians. asked some people who didn't realize how important Facebook was to their corporation and how it had any ties to do with it. The folk that went out and put some words over here, and now it affected them over here. Words are powerful. They're destructive, and at the same time, they can also be used to give life. The power of preaching, the Bible calls it the foolishness. Foolishness of preaching. Think about preaching. I'm getting up and saying words, but by these same words, they're able to encourage. By the same words, they're able to instruct. By the same words, these same words, able to motivate. They're able to give healing and all of that. Think about the power of our words. And if it has power on us, then think about the power we're projecting out and causing to others. Think about the power of the words and how they're going to affect the recipients of our very words. If it's good, amen. Keep it on. Keep it doing. And there are times you're going to have to say good words that the other person doesn't want to hear. It's called discipline. All right? That's still good. It's still good if it's done with the right purpose. All right? But our words are powerful. And how we speak, vitally important. And if you read the Proverbs, you're going to read so many times, so many times. I only listed two verses, but there are many, many more. All right, we got two more. I'm going to just let you read it and let it sink in. Trust in the Lord, your God, with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust God. You know, circumstances that come in our lives. Situations come in, and I know some have probably gotten to that point where, you know, look, you kind of like at that verge. Throw your hands in the air. Because I don't know, God, what you're doing. That's usually the problem. I don't know what you're doing. I'm lost in the cloud and in darkness. Imagine being in this room. You walked in here for the very first time. All the lights were cut off and all that. Can you make your way around here? No. In order for you to do that, you need some light turned on. You need to be able to, you know, do that. And that's what the Lord is. The Lord is to come and lighten our path. When we're in darkness, you know, and the problem is we get exasperated when we're in those dark moments, because what led us into those moments was usually our own leading. And now we're here. We've been sufficient. We've been self-sufficient. I've been able to get me to this point and all that. But now it's a darkness cast over all this. Wherever I am, whatever this is, there's a darkness cast over it all. And I was dependent upon myself to get me here. But there's always a point where you've done all you can do. And the only thing you can do next is just trust God. Now, this goes over all different areas. I mean, health, your finances, there's a point where you can do all that you can do. And then you have to be dependent on God. James talks about the farmer who goes out and prepares his field. And he does all of this great work in preparing the field. I mean, he's tending to that field. He's tearing up the ground. He's preparing, making sure the pH level is right, doing everything that farmer can do. And then at some point, when he's expended all of his energy and done all that he can do, all he can do then is sit back and wait for God to send the rain. They didn't have the water hoses like we have now. They had to do all they could do and wait on God to do what only God could do, to send the rain. And Solomon's saying, look, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding, because when we're leaning to our own understanding, we are limited. We're limited by what we know. We're limited by our own power. We were limited by our own abilities, by our own resources. We are limited. Don't lean on yourself. Instead, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will give clarity. He will illuminate the path. He will make those paths straight. And then lastly, oh boy. Who you listen to is so vitally important. Yeah, I didn't think about this till right now, but right there in Proverbs chapter 1, he starts talking about who you're hanging with. Hey, listen to this. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Don't forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornaments on your head, chains about your neck. My son, if sinners, that's them, if they entice you, don't consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait, shed blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. Let us cast your lot in with us. There's always someone whispering, hey, come join us. Come be like us. Come talk like us, walk like us, act like us, do the things that we do. And here's the same thing with God. You know, that's why I love the imagery in Proverbs. There's one image where it's talking about fools that are walking through and coming into the city. There's two ladies, two women. One of them is wisdom, and the other one is a harlot. And both of them are trying to get the attention of this young man and saying, hey, come over here. And both of them are offering very enticing things. And yet, here we are, the gullible ones, going, who do I listen to? She's saying she's got a feast prepared for me there, and look at how beautiful it is, and all of that. This one's saying, shh, come on over here. We got some stuff going on over here that'll really get you excited, right? And here we are, the gullible. Who do we listen to? We want to obviously listen to God. We want to listen to wisdom. We want to listen to the wise counsel, because there's always someone. There's always another view. There's always someone else trying to go contrary to the truth of God. And we have to be wise enough to make discernment. And really, that's what this book is about, making godly discernment, making wise decisions. So if your decision-making has been poor, once again, I encourage you, take a chapter a day. And if a chapter is too much, take half a chapter. And if a half a chapter is too much, take a few verses a day and chew on it and meditate on it and think, how does this apply to me? How does this help me? How does this help me grow closer to God? What is God trying to say as he's sharing this word? What is he trying to say to me? What is he trying to say to mankind? I mean, when you ask all those questions, that's great Bible study. Question the text, and then how can I apply this, the truth of this, in my own life? Amen. I think I've given you enough. I gave you too much, probably. But these are five tips from PowerPoints, five PowerPoints from Proverbs. And the last one, as we're talking about heeding wise counsel, I'm thinking of a man named Peter on the day of Pentecost. And Peter gets up and he starts preaching and he starts teaching, and there are people that are hearing this new message for the very first time, and Peter's relating scripture, Old Testament prophecy, to their current experience. And all of a sudden, here they are, after now hearing all of this information, hearing that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is Messiah, and really that they killed him. He said, you, with your hands, you've crucified the Son of God. Now recognizing that they have done this disastrous, this sinful thing. They asked him that question. They said, what do we do? We recognize that we've erred. We did err. We committed an error. We recognize our wrong. What do we need to do? As a matter of fact, it also said, verse 37 says, when they were pricked in their hearts. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They asked, they said, look, we messed up. They felt it. They believe now. Now they believe in Jesus Christ after this preaching. And they're saying, how do we now make things right? How do we make things right before us and God? And he says, repent. Turn from your sins. That's what repent means. Turn. Make an about face. Make a decision to turn to God now as your pilot, as your director, as your master, as your Lord, as your king. Make that decision. And then submit yourself to water baptism. Why water baptism? Well, I'll just say it like this, in simplest way. Because Jesus says so, all right? Jesus said so. Now, it's deeper than that. Baptism, as Romans chapter 6 tells us, baptism in itself is us reenacting what Jesus did. Jesus died on the cross. We died to our sins. Jesus was buried in a tomb. We are buried in water. Jesus rose from the dead. We rise from newness of life out of baptism. And then that is the beginning of this new journey with the Lord. Jesus Christ, when he went into that grave and when he rose and they finally opened that tomb, his flesh was not there. Now he becomes spirit. He went first down to Hades and then he went to sit on the right hand of the Father. And so now Jesus turned back to his former self as Logos, as spirit, as deity, as Lord. And now us in baptism, there's a change that happens to us, this flesh. You now become spirit. Peter said, when repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In baptism, your sins are washed. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell and reside within you. You have a helper in this walk with the Lord to the very end. Are you ready to make that commitment for the Lord? Are you ready to come right now this morning and give your hand, put your hand in the Lord's hands? If you're ready, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing?